ever tried watching your athlete's game from anywhere in the world? With Replayer, you actually can. I had a friend watch his son's game live from his flight. My son watched a live game from the car while we were driving up the California coast. It doesn't matter where you are, grandparents across the country, cousins on the other side of the world, teammates who just moved away, set up the camera, hit go live, and everyone with a link is right there on the sideline. Live streaming is free. Unlimited games, unlimited teams, unlimited users. No complex tiers. Everyone gets access. And forget waiting hours for footage. I recorded a 60-minute game, and it was ready in 5 minutes. Players were clipping highlights on the ride home. One camera, made in the USA, unlimited everything. If you never want to miss those moments, head to replayer.com. The link is in the show notes. Hey soccer friends, I just want to give a shout out to our partner, TeamPlayer. They are changing the game on how you find the perfect soccer team for your player. Parents, this means no more endless social media scrolling to find information on teams. With TeamPlayer, everything you need to know is just a few clicks away. It's simple, straightforward, and lets you find the best coach and team for your player without any of the usual headaches. And coaches, we all know how tough it can be to get your team noticed, but when you subscribe to one of TeamPlayer's team plans, you instantly get access to set up an online team profile that allows you to reach more potential players and showcase what your team is all about. It's super easy and lets players and parents see why your team could be the right fit for them. And if you sign up using the promo code PITCH, you can try any team plan free for 1 month. So whether you're managing a team or searching for one, come on over to www.teamplayer.us. That is TeamPlayer.us. And come give TeamPlayer a look.
Family-owned Soccer Innovation is your go-to source for top-quality equipment. Whether you're a player, a supportive family member, or a dedicated coach, they have everything you need to elevate your game. For players, their innovative equipment are designed to boost your skills and performance on the pitch. From their agility cones to their portable goals, they have you covered. And family members, they offer durable equipment that's built to last because we know your support is critical to your player. Coaches, trust me, they can provide the equipment you need to run effective training sessions and shape the next generation of soccer players. Visit Soccer Innovations at soccerinnovations.com to start elevating your game with them.
And if you use the code PITCH, P-I-T-C-H, you can receive up to 10% off your next order. Hello and welcome back to Chat by the Pitch. This is Ian Babcock, your host. This week, I have part two with Coach Anthony, Coach Ferraro, and Coach Hugo. They share their experiences with the academy side, starting a football club and merging with Solar Soccer Club, and why they did it and why it's important, the move they made, how they're running their section of Solar in Colleyville. I think if you guys will sit down and listen to this next episode and excuse the abruptly ending of the last episode to join to this episode, I hope you guys enjoy it. So let's start this chat and head to the pitch.
And in the US, it's very franchise based. So I was like, last year, I remember the summer was really, really just difficult because we had maximized everything we could as Lincoln. And it was like, I wanted the higher level players. And on top of that, I also wanted, I always thought, why could be any coach, a Solar coach, an FC Dallas coach, Texas, whatever. So why do they have access to the better players when I know our training is better than them? So, And I know our culture and I know our education is better than them, yet they still have access to the higher level players. Why? So then I looked at the why, and the why was they had ECNL, they had all these things. So I said, you know what, like we've got to get in there because I was tired of going to trainings with kids who didn't have the level to execute things that I wanted. So basically, I spoke to the guys. I said, hey, let's go to ECNL. And we basically, Solo kind of given me just the RL-NTX platform that I can manage myself. So I have autonomy over a platform for RL-NTX boys and the pre-ECNLs of boys. So I basically said, let me have all this in Colleyville. That way I can put all these teams in there, which was like the eight teams from U19 all the way to U11. They just give me all the autonomy over a whole platform, what I wanted to do. And I knew for our coaches, like, you know, giving Fiero RONTX, and he's seen how much better players he's been able to get in. Hugo has got the 12s and the priests, you know, so much better players we can get in. And it's not just one of the biggest things. It's not just solar. It's also like we still have to grind. So we still have the same workmanship, but it helps when you have the platform. And now I don't have to, which I never did, but I don't have to lie to people and say, hey, if you come with me, I can give you this and this and this. Whereas now I can truly give a player every single platform. So if they get too good for Hugo's 12, the first thing I'm going to be saying to them is, okay, are you ready for the ECNL Academy? Are you ready for this? Are you ready for this? And I can then talk, and now within the network of Solar, hey, I've got a guy that's way too good for Hugo's team, for Fiero's team, for my team. We need to move him to the next level. Now we can move him because we're all in the same club. So that was why we did it. And then basically how Lincoln Football Academy worked and all that was Lincoln Football Academy basically became a third-party company that we basically just do training through Lincoln Football Academy still. And the reason why we keep Lincoln Football Academy is because that was our identity as a club. So I didn't want to give that up. So when I spoke to Adrian and made all this happen, Adrian Solka runs Solar. I basically told him, I was like, I want to keep Lincoln Football Academy because that's also the identity that our coaches represent with. So, and he was like, honestly, you can have that. So given the autonomy of that, along with having Lincoln Football Academy, for me, that checked all the boxes for myself to say, you know what, this is, I want to move forward. And then we moved forward, and I know we had pushback from Hugo, gave a lot of pushback on why we should go to Solar because Lincoln is this. And this. So, which I appreciated because that was part of my success was the coaches were so passionate about what Lincoln represented. So that was a great success for me. But I also knew that when Hugo got access to the higher levels and ECNL and all this, in the long term, he would also see why it's beneficial. But we also didn't give up Lincoln Football Academy and we still keep it. And that's why now we kind of, I would say we have the best of both worlds, but what was a really important point that Fiera made was it's easy to get there, but it's hard to maintain. And that's where we're at right now is that we've gotten there. We've got now the status. The hard part is the maintenance. And that's where we have to work every single day at it to be at the top level day in, day out, day in, day out. And that's how you survive in this for decades is you're consistent with your approach. And Arsene Wenger's quote, I remember it's my favorite quote he actually ever said. He's one of my favorite coaches because I'm an Arsenal fan. He said, it is not the intensity of the motivation. It is the stamina of the intensity of the motivation. So it's not about how hard you do something. It's about how long you can keep on doing that. And that's how you make it. And, you know, fear of seeing professional football. I was an example. I was not as good as some other youth players in Dallas, but I stuck on for basically from 18 to 25, 26, for 8 years. I was consistent in the same level of my stamina of motivation. Whereas a lot of players at 21, if they don't make it, then they start getting mad and then they just give up. And I just kept on going and going and going and going. And that's a lot of people see my career and think, oh, wow, you know, you played against all the best players in the world. Well, I didn't see when I went to 7th division and 6th division and 5th division being in reserve teams and then going to first teams and then going to reserve teams and then going to first team. Like that's the grind. That's where most people make it. It is not in at the end when you're playing the beautiful games against 60,000 people in the stadium, that's easy to play in those games. But it's not easy when there's 400 people in a cold, rainy day in England on a Tuesday night and you got to perform. Like that's where a player is made. And that's kind of what we're trying to educate these kids. It's not about don't get caught in just the glamour, but get caught in the process and the journey of how to get there. So I think that's kind of where my story is. And now it's like, for all of us, I never expected to be a director. I wanted to be a coach when I quit. And I kind of just fell into this role. And now my vision is to go and get all the best young coaches. And actually what I want to do more than anything is I want to have a coaching staff that's full-time coaches. That's not coaches that do this as a side job. This is their whole life. Because that's where I see the most benefit for the kids is when their whole life is this. And if, you know, in the US system of paying or whatever, I would rather people pay for something that they know they're getting a full-time coach rather than paying for something where they get a coach, which is their side job, where they still have so many other things in their life, to where you're paying so much for a coach that really can't put his full focus into you. Like, for me, that's a problem. And that's what I'm trying to fix. And right now we have a lot of our coaches who are pretty much full time. And that's where I want to, any coaches that come over with us, is how can we continue to push that to where they can become full time?
That's a huge, here in the United States, that's a huge hurdle to get over. I know that most of the conversations I have, unless you're at the higher up levels, a director or something with a club, it's very hard to have it to be your full-time job. You have a second job or a first time full-time job, and you have one or two teams that you coach, and it's nearly
right
impossible for most clubs unless you're at the higher levels within the club. FC Dallas is one of the few, but they're the MLS team.
And that's one of the benefits of our kind of with Solar and Lincoln is that we can, the way I've tried to create this is that coaches can get pay from both sides. So now if you take, you know, two teams or three teams, whatever, and you work within Lincoln, you know, you can, there's no reason. Now, I mean, everybody has freedom to do whatever they want, right? But there's no reason why they have to go and get another job, because my goal is that there's enough there for them to be able to live full time from this. And over time, and you know, the coaches, and I don't want to, and maybe we don't have to talk about finance when you put it out, but it's just a matter of just within us and why, the reason why behind this is, at the end of the day, we all have to pay rent, we have to do this, we have to do, like, we all have costs in our life. And the way we can do this through Lincoln and through Solar, a coach like someone like Hugo and Fierro, who work for both of them, then, and myself that works for both of them, we can now get closer to living full time to where we don't have to go and get a side job working at a restaurant or get or becoming a teacher. And you know, the next stage for me is going to be, how can we then create benefits and this and that? So it is a process, but I think, you know, Hugo and Fierro seen it from the beginning, and you know, someone like Augustine has been there from the beginning. They've seen where we were 3 years ago to now and the improvement that we're making. And that's how I'm just going to always continually try to push the needle towards where coaches, because I always prepare for what happens if one of our coaches gets in a better opportunity. Well, we want to give something to another coach who comes in and can live full time from this. That's where my mind is trying to go.
And that's a huge, huge goal. I mean, it says a lot about what you're trying to develop. I think a lot of clubs who I've talked to, where that's the higher ups in the clubs, would love for their coaches to be full time staff where they could focus directly on the kids. But the issue is, I think Wilco, I go back to him because he pointed it out to me with Dutch FC. He says, mm-hmm. Soccer here is not a community sport. We drive to MoneyGram to go play our games. We don't have our local football stadium, so to speak. The high schools have them, but our community does not have a local football field where you would have Lincoln FC being the team and the community pitches in. You don't have the camaraderie of the community coming in to watch the kids play just because it's a game on. It's everyone has their own walls up and their own lives doing something else that does not evolve around football. And that culture has to change here for that to happen. So I give you a lot of respect for trying to get
there. But that's not going to happen.
No, it's finding other avenues to make it happen. Exactly. And I think as time goes on, we will get more soccer being watched, football, whatever you want to call it, being watched here in the States, because people are actually enjoying it more than American football or baseball or hockey. I mean, soccer just replaced the NHL to be the number fourth watched sport in the United States last year. And I don't think people realize how much that is changing at a very fast rate. And part of it is the influx of people coming from other countries to the United States. But look at North Texas, cricket is growing drastically here, and they just introduced a cricket league nationwide. So if that tells you anything, how much sports are changing in the United States, maybe we'll see the Coliseums built to soccer versus American football. Okay, let's switch paths a little bit and jump to you guys with solar. You guys are located where in Colleyville, roughly? I know the address, but so the listeners can
hear. It's on 26 and Brown Trail.
Awesome. And I know you guys have been there for a little bit of time. So you talked about leagues earlier. What leagues exactly do you guys all play in with solar within your location?
So we have ECRL, ECNL, RL, NTX, and we are the Solar Red platform. So within our red platform, this year we have 05s, 07s, 08s, and 09s. And then we have the new ECNL, NPL, NTX team. We have our 2010s in there. So our 10s are in that one. We have no 2011 team. And then our 2012s, they play pre-ECNL, and they are I think they're the silver team. And then the 2012s play, we have another 2012 team, which is RPL. And then the 13s is on the 2013, their pre-ECNL gold platform. And then we have a 2013 RPL. And then we have a 2014 RPL, 2015 RPL. That's all boys. And then we have girls 2012 and 2012, 2013 mix. Those girls kind of share rosters. And then we're trying to build some more girls teams. But that's the teams we have currently playing.
That's awesome. So will you guys be able to go jump into the ECNL side, or is this the pathway for your players is to go from the RL North Texas side and move into the another solar team, or will you guys be able to hang on to your teams, build them, and move them?
So there's on the pathway, the biggest way is, so RL and RL NTX, there's actually, we're finding that a lot of the RL teams, because RL is technically the second division and RL NTX is the third division, but a lot of RL players are actually wanting to start come and play RL NTX because it's local. So the RL is a travel league. And if you finish in the top two places of RL and you finish in the top two places of RL NTX, you lead to the same national championships. So it's all RL as one whole, but in some markets in the US, they've made a local RL league. So RL NTX is one where there's so much demand for so many good players that they've basically just made another RL NTX league. So for our pathway for our players is if you're an RL NTX, let's say you got an 09 RL NTX player and he wants to go to the next level and he's at the level for that, we could move him to the ECNL 09 team, or we could move him to the RL 09 team. And then it would just be based on, does the parent want to travel? Do they want to go into that travel league? And ECNL, do they want to go into an ECNL league? And obviously then it is a, you know, a cost factor of it's going to be more, but at the same time, there's more exposure there for you to go to colleges. So I think the biggest way for us right now in RL NTX is a lot of NCAA D2 and D3 players. That's where I think a lot of the players are going to end up from RL NTX. And even RL, a lot of those players will end up looking at D2, D3 colleges of NCAA. So, and then the ECNLs, a lot of those players will end up at D1 colleges and even D2, because a lot of D1 colleges now are getting MLS players, MLS Next players, and also they're getting a lot of international players. So we just had one of the national team players of my country. He's a midfielder. He was in England at University of Loughborough, which is one of the best schools. He just moved to University of Vermont. So he's in school right now in Vermont, and he's like an 03 or an 04, 02, 03, 04. He's in that age. So he's just gone to the University of Vermont, and he's in the national team. He actually played against Holland in March, and he just moved to University of Vermont. So meaning that the whole point of that is Division One is getting very competitive, to where a lot of RL NTX players are going to struggle to make it into D1. Doesn't mean they can't make it, but from me looking at it from a how do we get these players into college from like Fiero's U19 teams, a lot of them are looking at D2, D3 schools. And if you do go to a D1, then you might be redshirted. And if you're not redshirted, then how are you getting in there? We got to be really creative, because D1s now are starting to look at only ECNL, only MLS Next, and then only international. That's how a lot of these D1 rosters are made up of. So our kind of role in the community for these players is, how can we help you get D2, D3 looks? Maybe NAIA. And if you do get in D1, that's going to be probably 5 to 10% of RL players who've got the D1 schools. The rest of them are going to go D2, D3, and NAIA. And then there'll be the few off people that make it to the top levels or just go straight professional, which is, it sometimes happens.
That's the thing. I think parents look at, I'll use Solar as the example, because that's who you guys are coaching underneath. Is the pathways. Every club has a different pathway, and you just laid it out very clearly, like what levels, what club coaches are looking, or colleges are looking at each level, which is huge, because I feel like most parents see, and players have a certain expectation going into playing soccer. Like, I'm not going to play soccer in college. Well, you're competing with 30,000 kids every year for, I don't know how many spots, 40,000 kids just in the United States, doesn't include international. And a lot there's of kids.
There's a lot of players who come to us who come from teams who are competitive too, but parents come up to me, tell me that, you know, the club was good when they were young, and then they get to a certain age where the clubs don't provide that next step, that what's the development of the player, right? So they get to 11 years old, 12 years old, and then 13 years old, they're like, okay, what's next? You know, the clubs don't provide them that path. A lot of clubs don't provide them that path, and I think Anthony and the whole organization here, with the coaches, we've been doing good in terms of connecting every coach with that mentality, you know, because in our club, we don't keep the same coach from going from one team to the other team to the other team to the other team. If one player is playing with Hugo this year, next year that player is gonna have a different coach, because Hugo is only the coach for that team, right? And then this player, the next year, is gonna have a different coach. The next year he's gonna have a different coach, and the next year he's gonna have a different coach, right? So every time he has a
2-year process. It's a 2-year process. So every two years we'll make the move. Yep.
Yeah,
but you're on the right pathway. Uh-huh. Yep.
So So for me, that's one of the most, there's one of the easiest ways for me to talk to players and recruit them, because there's not a lot of that environment here in Dallas, right? There's a couple clubs that they do provide that. For example, Dallas Texans, FC Dallas, well, you know, there's a big business over there. And Solar, right? Solar, and then there's a couple of clubs that are looking to provide that pathway for the players, right? And Anthony has done a great job in connecting the club to Solar in a way of, if we, like you said, if we have players that are too good for us, there's a pathway for them, right? You come to us, for example, we had some players that went and then try out for MLS Next teams and ECNL teams that didn't make it. Okay, well, they come to us and play with us. We tell them, okay, you prove yourself here, and then we put the word for you to go and try out for the Solar ECNL, Solar, you know, RL, right? But yeah, that pathway was most of my players, that the reason that they came to us over here is because they saw the level first, the level of training. Second, the structure that Anthony has there, like the fields, the goals, all that stuff, that looks professional. It looks like you're coming into an actual club that has a plan for your kid. You know what I mean? Not just a club that, oh, you bring your kid, they practice out loud, the next day, they train your kid, they practice. No, there's a plan for every player. There's a plan for every team.
Also, to add to that,
go ahead.
That I've just been able to witness how much a player can learn from different coaches. Just we've seen it from now. I used to coach the under 16s. Now, after 2 years, now Fierro is able to coach them. So, we kind of have to understand that at times there's a cap that a player, there's only so much a player can learn from a coach. And at times we're not able to witness how much a player can grow with different styles of coaching, because they're learning not only from me, but in their 6 year development, they've learned already from three different coaches where whenever they hit college, they're ready for whatever style of coaching, whatever tactics, whatever they may need to take on the next step. So we've been able to have that good pathway and see a good development from our players, and I hope we can keep doing that.
I think the biggest thing on the pathway is a lot of clubs hide behind what the pathway looks like, because one, they don't, I don't even think they know themselves, for one. Two, it's, oh my gosh, people are paying me so much money, I don't want to reveal to them what this actually is. Like, there's a lot of that crap that goes on. So myself, I just take it head on and say, this is what you're most likely going to end up following this teams. So if you go in this team, this is probably the colleges you're going to be looking at. Now, you may go home and you may say, this guy's an idiot for telling me, and I might not like it. But Julio, my national team coach, also told me as well. He says, I didn't write the laws of the game of soccer. I just play within the laws because that's what the laws give me. So in here, I didn't write what the college recruiting process looks like. So I just tell you what it is. And the way a player... If, for instance, you know, use a player that's 14 years old that's playing with RLNTX. If he and his parents say, no, well, I want to be in D1, well, you know what you have to do. You have to go to the ECNL team. And if you know, but I want to get higher and higher. Okay, well, you know what you have to do. And the only way a player can do that is by proving inside the field, being the best player they can be. Like, that's the only way. That's the laws of soccer. And like, for me, parent influence, I don't care how rich you are. I don't care how good you look. Like, you are not going to influence me from a parent standpoint. Now, I'm going to be honest with you and I'll tell you. And also, I will hear your comments and hear your feedback and take that in and say, how can we improve? But that the problem with a lot of the U.S. system is that because it's a pay-to-play system, they get influenced by parents. So, I tell a lot of parents, your money doesn't move me. Now, I hear your concerns, and they may be valid, and I may process them, but just because you come up to me, don't think that I'm going to then open doors for you later because you have a burden on me. Like that. And I think it's really important for us to be clear with parents. And there's some parents that hate me for that, but then there's a lot of parents that really respect me for that because I just tell them straight up what it is. And if your kid wants to go and play in Division I college, you need to be better than any of my teams in Colleyville because my teams, the path doesn't lead you for that. The path leads you for D2, D3. So if you want to be better than that, come in my teams and we're going to give you the same as everybody else. We're going to give you great development. If you want to get to a point where if you're too good for Fierro's team, as much as Fierro would love you to be in his team, he may say, you know what, man, this guy's just freaking way too good. Like, we got to move him up. And you're going to get seen anyway. And you're going to move up. And there you go. You have potential to go to Division I. And I believe this year there'll be a few of Fierro's players that make D1 because there are some players who will make D1, but in his U19 team. But from that's the pathway that I don't hide behind. I just tell parents straight up and I embrace it. And if they don't like it, well, that's the laws that are written and that's the way it works here.
So will you guys be able to shift the higher level teams eventually within your little group here in Colleyville, or will you guys be... This is your pathway for your organization right now.
What do you mean?
Let's say you do have a squad of 13 kids that are phenomenal that go take on the ECNL boys team, red team, the highest team in ECNL, and they just dominate that team. Would they allow you to take your team and switch spots with that team, or are you feeding into the better teams?
Speaking with Shola and speaking with Grant, like if we have Grant is the boys director and Hodgel runs the MLS program. Well, it's now the ECNL Academy because they came out of MLS. But if we have a team that is high and above beyond like what any Shola team, let's use 08, for example, or 09, 010, whatever. If we have a team in that age group that is way better than any other Shola team, that's when I would go to them and say, hey, listen, I want the ECNL Academy spot for this coach. Or the whole team goes there, but then, like, that's a conversation where it would be a tricky conversation. But knowing from where Shola are, and I don't want to say this like, what's the word? I don't want to say this like conceited. But knowing where I kind of stand with inside of Shola, I'm inclined to believe that they would give me that. So if I say, hey, if Hugo has a 2012 team and becomes the best 2012 team in DFW, then we can go to them and say, hey, Hugo wants the ECNL Academy spot because his team are the best. Then Shola I'd be inclined to believe that they would give Hugo that spot.
Because I know you get so many slots per age group and I know that you can compete to get into it, and I've learned a lot about the alphabet leagues that are out there, and I find it comical, but that's a story for another day. But I think that's what parents are looking at is when they join a team and they find a coach or a program they really like, and they're truly taking their player and pushing them to be the best they can be.
Right.
And I feel like it's beyond development. It is creating the tactical speed, the mental speed, and the physical speed of the player. It's really hard for a family wanting to leave that,
right,
for the next best thing, because they know that the kid's getting the best thing on the market, and I feel like when you have, it's very hard to say this, but like when you have, teams, let's say you have, I'll use FC Dallas because they are the largest in the Metroplex for boys. When you have eight teams, nine teams for the 2014 or 2013 or 2012 age groups, the farther away you get from the top team, the quality of coaches go down. And sometimes coaches won't release players to the next level. Maybe FC Dallas is not guilty of that because I've watched them move players from one squad to the next, but there are clubs in the Metroplex that will even, I mean, I've watched Solar do it too. They'll move players from squad A, from squad A, and move them to squad Z because they're performing at that high enough level to go beyond where they're at. But I think families also want to see their player develop with a coach long term, because I feel you guys may switch every 2 years, but you guys do all collaborate quite a bit. And this is where as a parent myself, I think philosophy gets lost. You guys have your own philosophy in Colleyville. You can see it. You guys all communicate. You guys all coach different styles, but the message that you guys are coaching is identical.
So I think
watching
the biggest thing
that's
in that,
what's missing
in that sense is like, so I work 2 days a week with the ECNL girls of Solo, and I work 2 days a week with our groups in Colleyville. So Monday, Wednesday, I do the girls. Tuesday, Thursday, I do the our groups. Like, so obviously I have the 13s, and then I just help with all the other teams. So Monday, Wednesday, when I go to the ECNL girls program, so they have 7 teams there. They have the 19, 17, 16, 15, 14, 13, 12. So the 2012 team over there, they're playing U13, ECNL, RL. So they're playing upper year 11v11 to get used to 11v11. So those 7 teams are treated, and they're the number one. I think they're now number two because Slammer's my one, but they're number one girls team in the girls club in the whole nation of ECNL. Like, they're amazing, the girls. But they have a culture they've built. There's 7 of us coaches who've created a culture for the girls. So our group in Colleyville is the same, to where we have 7 coaches, but now we have 13, 14 teams. But over there, they have 3 coaches who are head coaches. The rest of us are assistants. So basically with us, what we do in Colleyville is the biggest reason why I moved to Solar was because the culture that I see within the ECNL girls program is similar to our culture. So I work within 2 different cultures. So I work with Monday, Wednesday in one culture with the girls, and Tuesday, Thursday with our culture with the boys, but they're very similar the way we run. And I, quite frankly, like, I have no idea what else other people do in Solar. Solar have 221 teams. I only work with 7 teams plus our 13. I work with 20 teams. So the other 200 teams, I have no idea what they do. And so I don't, the reason why when we went and did our thing as our group going in is because, like, Hugo and Fiero and Sam and all these other guys, like, they have no idea what the other Solar teams do because they're too busy on our culture that we believe is the best for our group. So it's not to say that the other Solar teams, and other Solar teams are obviously doing a great job, but it's unfair for me to speak about that because I don't know what's going on. So,
right.
Does that make sense?
You can only talk about the area that you're the director of. And that's what I'm getting at. And that's the hard part. I told you from day one, you don't chase the coach. I mean, you don't chase the club or the badge. You chase the coach at this age, because at the end of the day, that was the best advice I was given. It's if you want your player to develop, you have to find the right coach that speaks to your player. I mean, some kids react well to a coach that's very harsh. Some coaches needs more of a hands-off, white glove type approach to the player. And eventually the popcorn kernel will pop and they will be successful underneath a different style of coaching. But what you guys have going on there, it seems you guys have all the different types of coaching styles, personalities, and kids get exposed to it. And it's not always what I'm looking. I can use you, Anthony, because I've watched, and Hugo both. When you guys get mad at the kids, like, you, I don't think you're getting mad. You get frustrated. Then 30 seconds later, you turn around and make a joke with the boys and everyone's laughing again and having a good time. It's like you want the message to get across, but at the same time, like, you, I guess it's, I mean, relating it to being a parent, you don't get mad really at your kids. You get frustrated. Because you want them to do a certain thing a certain way. And you can see that as coaches with these boys that I've watched you guys coach now. It's like, you're not mad. You're frustrated. You're flustered. Right. And you want them to understand what you're trying to say. And sometimes even as a parent, like they don't get it.
No,
you can
no,
say it in 15 different ways, but you can have Coach Hugo come over or Coach Ferrero come over and talk to the boys, and all of a sudden it just clicks. It's just a different way of wording something. And I think that's what you guys have there in Colleyville. That's so important that I think that I always called it, you guys are a club within a club of Solar. That's how I've described it. That's how I've interpreted it personally. And you can correct me if I'm wrong, but what you guys are doing there in Colleyville is very unique. I mean, if one of you guys aren't there, almost any of you guys can come in and cover the practice, because what you guys are training at the U19 may be very similar to the U13. And I think that's impressive, because you guys can say, this is what we're covering. And you guys all know what you're talking about. And I think part of that is because you guys were able to take your Lincoln FC and bring it in under the umbrella. But as a parent, that's critical, because that means when I use Anthony, you're a prime example of this for me. It's when you go on your national call-up duty, you have a coach that can come in that says, okay, here are my players. You probably will give them the player profile that they are and say, good luck with them. This is what I would do. And that coach might see something different when the game's actually being played and give you feedback. I don't know how it works in the background.
Right.
I'm assuming that's what goes on, because that's what professionals do. And it's fascinating to me what you guys have going on there and what you're able to accomplish within the Solar brand. And that's why I think,
you know, on that, like, just, and then real quick, I think Fiora wants to go, but like the, when I find people that for our culture, like, I don't want people that as soon as their practice finishes, they just clock out and go home. Like, so I look for those people. Like, so now I also am respectful of people's time. But like, for instance, last night, like, no one tells Hugo to jump in and play with the 08s and the 07s and the 06. Like, he doesn't have to. He can go home because he's finished with his practice. But because the culture we've built, like, he actually, I would argue, looks forward to jumping in to play with those kids, because one, it keeps him fit, but also it's like, you know what? I love training with these guys, because I remember I used to coach these guys a year ago, but now I get to have a different relationship with them because I'm not their head coach, and I can joke around with them, and I can, hey, let's go. Like, and that's the culture that within our club, within our club, that's kind of how that's a perfect example of it. But it's like, that's how we have tried to create that. And we're all bought into that. And that's why we just know that we believe that we're successful in that, because everyone is bought into the same thing. Go ahead, Fiero, because I know you're going to say something.
The thing with us as coaches with the club is that we all get along, right? I feel like that's another thing that soccer teaches you, right? That everyone's gonna have different characters, everyone's gonna have different, you know, ways of seeing life, right? But you know, within each other, understanding that each other has vision, and we all want to be somewhere. We all want to, you know, create something big and be some and provide something for the players. So every coach, we're just connected in that way of like we're friends, but also at the same time we're professional colleagues, right? Where we talk about the tactics that one team uses. One coach goes and walks up to the other team and then just talks to the coach, looks at the players, sometimes to Anthony and his 2013 boys. I'll go and I say hi to the boys, they smile, they see the coach. Oh, that's a U19 coach. They say, oh, that's the U14 coach, U12 coach, or whatever, right? So having that culture of like every player knows the coaches, I think it's also something that makes us different. You know what I mean? Because I know the players who play for the coach Santiago, right? The 08s, right? So at any point he needs me to cover the practice or he needs me to cover the game, I know I know the names of the players, I know where they play and all that stuff, right? If Hugo needs someone to cover him, he has two or three other coaches. I know the names of the players, I don't know the names of how he wants to play, all that other stuff, right? That's one of the things that also makes us very good in terms of providing that pathway for the player to go from one coach to the other coach to the other coach, because even though this player is coming up to the new coach, they already know this coach. They already talked to him, you know, they already they're in the same environment. Now, you did mention something about, you know, the parents, they say, they tell their kids something, and they try to tell their kids, hey, you know, open up, or, you know, be brave, take on the players, or something, right? Use your left foot or something, right? And then whenever us say the same thing to the player, the same thing. Let's say I use the same exact words you use. Since us, the kid gets it better. Why? Because we're the parent, and you tell this, tell your kid thing, the kid is gonna get in the shell, on his shell, because he's gonna feel like, ah, yes, ah, this my dad. You know, you've been telling me that for the last 10 years, right? Like they don't take it seriously, as if, you know, if you tell them, hey, you gotta use foot, but he doesn't. You know, he doesn't pay attention to you, he doesn't care, he does, well, whatever, right? But then I go up to him and tell him, hey, you gotta use your left foot. If you don't use left foot, hey, you're not gonna get places, whatever. Now all of a sudden, okay, yeah, I gotta use my left foot. Same thing happened when my dad was out. Now my dad told me, hey, you gotta use foot at this day in the hockey, you cannot play it only with one foot. I was like, Dad, my right is so good, I don't need my left. Ignore me. Got to the point where I was 15, 16 years old. I had a coach, Jose Mabasan, comes up to me and tells me, hey, Fierro, your left foot is S-H-I-T, huh? It's horrible, right? So so I was, hey, well, then I guess my dad was right, yeah? So, but if I would have listened to my dad when I was 9 years old, 8 years old, instead of listening to my coach when I was 15 years old, 16 years old, I would have been able to have a really good left foot when I was 15, 16. A really good left foot. But since I started at 16, I didn't really have a good left foot until I was like 22, right? Like, and I could use my left foot, but I'm talking about
even now,
foot, you know, when you get to be able to use your left foot. Yeah, exactly, even now, right? But now it's just how I'm training, you know, different, right? But, the point that, you know, sometimes coaches get to reach that inside of the player, a good coach that understands how to talk to the player, if you're able to reach deep inside, make them understand why they need to do what you want them to do, I feel like they do it by themselves instead of you having to tell them every day, right? If you tell them and one time that you tell them, it sticks with them. After that, it's just them doing it, right? Them going for it. And if at some point they stop doing it, it's like, okay, well, then you just... You don't have the mentality to keep working on it consistently, right? Just like Anthony said,
here's something for
soccer is about moments.
Yes,
I think the biggest thing that I could give parents advice, okay, and a parent told me this, maybe a couple years ago. He said, "You're dealing with my greatest gift in the world, which is my child." He said, "What I do is I search for someone who can mold my gift in the way that I would like my gift to be molded." So if you're a parent, like, and it could be whatever, like when you say you don't search a club and so don't search this, you search a coach, I would even say, like, what you've done is a good job. You search for someone, how your morals, because you have morals in your home that you think are your the best for your family. So whether your kid makes it as a professional soccer player or a professional accountant or professional this or professional that, like your job as a parent, you have a role to help prepare that player to be the most successful person they can be later on. So your role is, as what Fiera said, is exactly right. Like, kids don't want to hear from their parents. They just don't want to hear it. So you have to say which coach mimics the morals that I have in my home the best, so I can keep on getting that message to my kid. Because, see, we're basically an avenue for you as a parent to help parent your kid. So that's kind of the biggest thing that I would give advice to parents, is if you're looking for a coach or whatever, you want to look for someone who is the same morals as what your family holds that will help your kid later. There may be some people that I am not the morals for their home. And that's okay. Like, I don't take that personally. There may be some me that I don't like this guy because those morals are against what we hold in our roof. That's fine. There's also then people that say, man, the morals that he has are just the morals that I want for my home. So I'm going to go to that. And that's where you make the sacrifices, because the parent, the biggest responsibility for that kid is the parent. You have the responsibility to get your kid in the best environment possible, which mimics your home, that you believe is best for your home. So that's where I would give any advice just to parents for that, is they have to look for that. And that's why what we try to do is, even within ourselves with Hugo and Fiero and all our guys, like, we talk within ourselves continuously, like, what do we need to do to be better, to continue to improve our morals? That way we're better as coaches, as people, for more people to come in. And now that we've gotten more players, how do we continually not just think, oh, let's just get as many players as possible because we make as much money as possible? Like, how do we continually improve this so that our morals can stay consistent with what we're trying to do every single day? And but that's the advice I would give any parents.
Going back to what your guys are saying, so I'm a big advocate, starting off young, having my player go talk to the coach. My son does a much better job talking to his coaches than his teammates. I know he just likes to talk to adults more. I've told him from starting when he started to play 2 years up, you have to start that conversation with your coach. And the advice, that was advice I was given by a coach, is that you start them early. So when they're, by the time they're 16, 17 years old, they know exactly what they're responsible for. Because once, right, if they want to go play in a pro, they have to understand it's not your parents going to be standing behind you asking all the questions. I just want to know what's said. Kids don't always relay the information correctly. But it's why I tell Landon is, go ask what your coach that you need to go work on. I go, I don't need to know what he says to you. You need to know what he says to you, because that, then you need to come to me and ask me how to help you. I can't, it's teaching. It's like we say in our house, our job as parents is to facilitate our kids' dreams, is to provide the avenue to get there. And Landon's, from the age of 5, told us he doesn't need to go to school. He doesn't need to learn to read. He's going to be a pro soccer player. He doesn't know what league yet he wants to play in. And having a young kid say that to you, and it's like, okay, let's do everything we can to do this for you. And our job as parents is to go out and search for the coach, is to go out and find people to influence him in the right manner. It doesn't even have to be on the soccer field. It's off the soccer field too, that have the same passion and drive that he has. So with that being said, what age groups would you guys recommend parents doing that? I started off early because that's what I think is best for my son, because he's smart enough. My daughter might be a different story. It might be 12 years old for her, not 8 years old asking the coach for feedback, or not so being scared to go ask the coach for advice.
To me, that's funny, because we just had a parent meeting like a week ago with my under 12s. And I know Landon is 2 years younger than that, but that's the parent meeting that was mostly talked about. Us as coaches, we have our times counted, and we have, and each player has their own focus. So a little bit of that meeting was talked about, was that we have to let players go into training sessions, go into games within their own mentality, because many parents, they want to live through the player. So, and also they want to help the player a bit too much, to where I've noticed that it's just, at the end of the day, you don't help the player. You're actually not helping him at all. You're not helping him grow. One of the things I was spoken about was that whenever there's a problem with the player, whether it's football related, or for an example, maybe not getting enough time, maybe during a game, maybe them not, or getting frustrated with, for an example, a training session. Yes, the parents will know. They will probably be the first ones to know as soon as they get in the car. Hey, the training session, I did not get it. And what many parents do is, hey, coach, let me have a word with you. I don't know what is going on with my player, but he's not understanding, or he didn't understand this last session. The best thing that I've noticed is, given the player autonomy of their own growth. Now, of course, you're not going to give the six-year-old autonomy of their own growth, but once they hit, I believe, 9, 10 years old, many coaches can help the player grow in their own personality, because personality is a huge thing in football and any sport. So we have to, us as parents and coaches, we are the adults. So how can we work together to help the player grow in their own personality? And a great thing to do is give that player the time to, and the autonomy to say, hey, you know what? Let me go speak to this coach, ask about this, ask about that. And if we end up needing the parent to come in to the conversation, then we're more than open to bring in that parent to help communicate whatever it is that needs to be communicated. But that's a great aspect of how can we help young players grow. And it's not only in technical, it's also in we help them grow in their mind and their personality, and those are skills that's going to help them take until they're adults. So it'll be easier to communicate, easier to network, and at the end of the day, they'll become leaders, which is what we're hoping for all these young players to become.
You mentioned parents not helping. So when Lennon was younger, I'd make him cry as a parent, which is not good. He gets in the car, you ridicule what he did wrong, what he did great. As I have talked to more and more coaches and more experts on this topic, instead of getting in the car and telling him what he did wrong, unless it's something absolutely he did wrong and I'm embarrassed of, and that's not because of soccer play, that's a child being a child, going up and being a bully or being rude to someone. I know kids do that, but my expectations of those should be higher, and I hold them to those standards. But I set goals for Landon. Before we get to practice or a game, we set goals. The goals might be, I want to see you scanning better this game or this practice. Keep your head up. Just nothing technical, nothing truly that you're going against what you guys might say. It is, I want to see you celebrate your teammates' goals. Things along when they score, like, or if someone misses a shot, go give them a hug or something, so you'll get it next time. Or if your goalie makes a great save or made a great effort, give them words of encouragement. As a parent, we've realized that if we talk too much, we shut him down before the game or after the game, practice or the game. What advice would you give parents along that factor then as coaches?
I think the one of the biggest things, just to touch on that, is as young players up until about, I would actually even say about up until about 14 years old, the kids don't actually really care if they win or lose games. What they care about is that, let's say that my team, we lost 4-0, okay? But I told them at the end of the speech, at the end of the game, man, I'm so proud of how you guys fought today. Like, they'll take that home, and that will be more beneficial for them to feel like, you know, coach is really proud of me, rather than winning 4-0 and just saying, hey guys, good job, I'll see you guys on Tuesday. Like, they would be more happy with, I'm so proud of you guys that you showed fight and you didn't give up. Like, that for them means so much to them. So once they hit about 15, 16, 17, like Fiero will know more of the older ages, they start caring more about results more, because they have more pressure that they want to do well, because they want to be seen in a good team. Because then colleges start looking at them, and they don't want to see that you're losing every time. You have ego in high school that you want to be winning, and like those things start coming into more of it. But up until about 14,
that ego.
I would say, like, as if you're a parent, don't use results as the guide. Like, use if your kid, but let's say he played, say he's 11 years old and he played a really bad game. Like, just say, hey man, I'm actually really proud of you that you got back and tracked on that play. Like, man, that was so good that you tracked back on that play. Because then he's going to remember, my coach is proud of me,
and my parents proud of me. I don't even care if we freaking lost, like, because they're proud of me, and the kids walk around with like this swagger of like everyone's proud of me, and that's more important, because then when we go to the next game and try to get the maximum effort level from them, they feel proud inside. So then when we ask them, hey, I need you to do this and this and this and this, they feel that. So I would say up until like 14, probably up until all the way up to 14, like don't use results as the guideline, because a lot of the parents that I know, where all they care about is results at 11 years old, their kids most likely are not even going to be playing soccer at 14, 15 years old. They just cap out because they don't care.
That goes back to the philosophy I was given when I was coaching. It was, if you're winning, you should be happy at a 500 record. If you're winning out of three to five games of your season, you're winning, you're doing great. Anything more than that or less than that, you're in the wrong league for player development wise. But it really, we talk about it in our home quite a bit. We don't look for the score. And I think this is a downfall for Landon later on in life, but he just wants to play soccer. We don't discuss the score of the game. We don't care the score of the game. How did you feel you performed? Did you feel like you did well? Did you feel like you did your best? And I can only use my kid as an example, and he's only 9. I don't know we're learning along the way, because we don't have older kids. We just ask questions to parents that have older kids and coaches. That's the conversation I've heard over and over. Parents need, here in Texas, especially here in Texas, need to learn to stop caring about the score. And are they doing the correct formation on the field versus and making the right pass to the right spot versus just booting the ball into the goal? Because at the age of U19, and Pharrell can probably testify to this, if they don't have those foundations and learn to lose and learn to have the humility when they do finally win and be successful, it's so much better for the players, because you'll have the results like you guys are searching for, the development that you guys have. And that being said, now let's switch from Solar and this little bit more parent chat. Lincoln, go ahead.
Just want to add something real quick right there, just because this was one of the best memories I've had with my dad when I was a kid, was him taking me to like a little taco stand or restaurant, whatever, after the game, right? And sitting down at the table, we would just, you know, go over certain stuff, right? But the first thing that he would do is that before the games, he wouldn't tell me what I needed to do. He didn't tell me, I need you to do this, I want you to do this, or I want you to do that. The only thing that he would tell me to do is be brave. He just told me that, be brave, right? And right before the game, I will be about to start the game, and he would scream at me, how are we going to play? And I would tell him, brave, right? That, for me, took away any of the, I need to do this, I need to do that. No, I just got to be brave. Whatever I do, if I go on a tackle, okay, let's go in there, let's win that ball with braveness. You want to go score? Okay, go in there and go in and do it. You know what I mean? Go and play, go and compete, go this and that. So that allowed me to not feel pressure when I was a kid, right? I honestly, every game that I had was pure love for the game. No pressure. It was just go in there and then just compete, right? After the games, he would sit down with me. And first, the first thing he would say, going over the plays that I did good. I remember you did the movement right there. You went inside, you did the pass, blah, blah, blah. And he went over all the things that I did, right? And then at the end, he was, but now, can you do this better? Can you maybe, right here, maybe next time, instead of doing this, maybe do that, right? Let's go watch some games right now. Let's go watch Pumas America. Let's go watch Chivas against Cruz Azul. And watch them, watch the players that play in your position. And what would you be doing differently than them? Well, are they doing it well? If they are, okay. Can you do that in the game too? Can things like that, right? So just to that point of like a kid is very delicate in terms of his confidence, right? You can destroy a kid's confidence really easily. And one of Arsene Wenger's, that I know Anthony, you know, he's going to love this quote. I know you know it too. Is that it's better for a player to not have a coach at all from the age all the way to about, what, 12 years old, 11 years old, I think. It's better to have no coach at all than to have a bad coach at a young age. because one bad coach at a young age can, you know, shape your confidence in a way that's not gonna help you once the competition gets real. Now that I coach the older players, right? Of course, the older players, I see the players who are not confident, the players who struggle with little things like that. Maybe they are good, but then they're good players. But then something happens during the game, or maybe during the game someone smacked to them or something, and it gets them out of their game. If they're not energetic there, they just don't play good, right? So that's something that as a kid, I just an advice to parents listening to this right now is that, you know, just let them play. Just encourage them to be brave and compete, right? Compete and at a certain point when they get older to 9, 10 years old, okay, well then start going over the games and telling them, okay, what did you do good? What did you do wrong? All that other stuff, right? Whenever a player comes up to me and tells me that, you know, what can I do better? And usually the players who come up to me, they're 15, 16, 17 years old, right? What can I do better, right? That question for me is a question that sometimes is really there's a fine line where you don't want to cross that line in terms of you don't want to be asking your coach every month, every week, hey, what can I do better? Ask him once, what can I do better? Well, what can I improve? The coach is going to tell you what you need to improve, right? And then maybe couple months from that point, maybe 2 months, 3 months, right? Allow yourself time to grow. Go up to him again and tell him, hey, doing well, or should I be something different, right? If the coach needs to tell you something, he's going to tell you. You don't got to go ask him, right? He's going to go up, hey, you're doing this wrong, you're doing this. But, of course, come up to them, tell what's something that I can be doing. Now, the thing that bothers me the most, that when a player asks me what they do, and then you tell them what they need to do, but then they don't do anything about it, right? They don't train whenever to me and tell me, what can I do better? Well, you got to get a better first touch. You got to get a better first touch. You got to get a better turn. When you have the ball, can you look up? Can you check your shoulders? Right? But then months go by, months, and they don't do it. They don't improve it. They don't work on it. I don't see them developing that skill. So they come again a few weeks later, a few months later, the same question. So I'm like, okay, well, if you're going to ask the question, do something about it when I give you the answer, right? Just want to add that little bit of information real quick.
No, I like what you said. Your dad said, be brave. For me, I think every parent's different. Like when Lennon was younger, you're talking 5, 6 years old playing at Blue Skies. It's everyone on the team got paid $1 for a goal. On his team, and like, no, we don't pay for goals, bud. We pay for assists. We pay for tackles. We'll give you 10 cents for every goal. I mean, he was the leading scorer on his team. So like at the end of the season, he had out of the 175 goals, he had almost 80 of them by himself. Mm-hmm. And like, you get 10 cents a goal.
They paid the more game. Than pro soccer already.
Yeah. My dad would do that, and but I'm in like, training, we, not in we, games, but in training, yeah.
Yeah, it was 10 cents a goal, and an assist was worth a quarter. But as a parent, that motivated him. He didn't even care if he got the money at the end of the game. He just wanted to know how much he made. We realize this. It's like, that's why we set goals for him. I think if every parent has to understand what motivates their players. Our son is motivated by goals. My daughter, on the other hand, we joke, she'll either be a prison game leader or a CEO of a company. We don't know which one yet. But that's the thing. You have to know what motivates your player, and parents have to be realistic with that. And yeah. I think I've been very fortunate because we've had coaches make us parents be humbled, and then we've had our player be humbled. And I think that's what's missing is that's like you said, like maybe the kid doesn't need to go up every week. I do it because I want Lennon to learn to feel comfortable talking to his coach. Or I've watched Lennon go up and ask. Right. Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, even like you said, if they don't work on it, they have to. You hit it on the head. If they aren't improving in that time frame or a week, they are missing the point of that conversation. And I always ask Landon, what did he say? And I go, and I will ask, before you ask him again, you need to make sure that you've done that, what he's asked. I know that the other night I asked Coach Hugo to explain something to Landon because I'm watching him doing this time and time again being beat. And I know Landon's smart enough. You explain it to him, he can apply it. But I know my player, and I know what he's capable of. And that's the difference between a lot of parents, is that they think their kid's this great baller. And I'm like, I need to find a kid where my player is the in-between baller, where he's not the worst and he's not the best. He's in the middle. And it takes time finding a team where he fits that and the coach yeah. fits that style. But I know that my son has a lot to work on. And there's moments of being prideful of my son. And there's moments of being like, no, you need to get knocked down a few pegs and really be shown who you are.
Hi, and I hope you guys enjoyed this episode with the coaches. Now, as we move forward, I'm going to keep this one brief, and I'm going to keep the closing of the next one a little bit longer. But I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I hope you enjoyed the message they gave about why they're doing what they're doing. Now, next week's episode is more about Lincoln Football Academy, and I hope you guys stick around for that next episode. If you're listening to this and you guys enjoy this podcast and enjoy what I'm trying to do, please rate, review, and share the podcast. Until next time, see you at the pitch.